RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios. Halfway home on this Thursday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, SEC Media Day is wrapping up as Josh Heupel, Shane Beamer, they all spoke today. Who's the other guy that spoke? Lane Kiffin. Spoke. Let's head up the waitfor.com hotline. Let's talk to my friend Chris Goforth. He's been in Nashville covering the SEC Media Days for us on the radio station. And, of course, he is on Twitter at ChrisGoforth1. Chris, my friend, appreciate the time. Thanks for a few minutes tonight.
Yeah, man. I'm not halfway home, John. I am all the way home. So it's been a fun and a fast-paced 4 days, but it's good to good to be in some comfy clothes and in the recliner for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it's not that much longer of a drive for you than when you come down to Atlanta and drive back up to Chattanooga, right? I mean, it's maybe what, not even 2 hours, maybe more?
For me, it's a little over 2 hours. It's probably about 2 hours and 20 minutes to get to Nashville. It's a bit more of it's a drive that I don't enjoy as much because you've got Mont Eagle Mountain and it's not as easy. Now the drive for me, I can be to Midtown in just over an hour. If I really get on it, I can be to Midtown in an hour and 15 minutes.
You sure you want the cops to know that, how fast you drive?
We'll keep my plate number a secret.
Hey, I was laughing because I saw USA Today's Florida Gators website, I guess, Gators Wire, part of the USA Today network. It's funny because we were talking about Billy Napier last night. They had Billy Napier as one of the losers of SEC Media Days, and the quote was, "For as thrilling as Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman was on stage, Napier was the opposite. From his prolonged opening statement to the coach speak field answers, there was little enthusiasm or humor from Napier. It's representative of the energy surrounding the Gators heading into his second year at the helm. Florida went 6-7 last season and has its win total at 5.5, according to DraftKings. So you were all over that because, you know, again, you know, you and I and Randy all kind of scratched our head. We saw that billboard, right, at the SEC championship game, and we saw the big billboard with Billy Napier welcoming to, you know, Atlanta and all that, and it was just like, wow, I hope they got the right guy. But, you know, again, he was listed as one of the losers for SEC Media Day.
Yeah, I just, you know, John, it's one of those things. And I look, he's from Chatsworth. He's from Murray County. You know, I've had talked to his dad before. His dad's a long time and legendary high school football coach in North Georgia. His brother is the head coach at Murray County now. They're a great football family, and his, you know, and I think all three of those guys are class people. You know, I think Billy Napier is a class act as a human being. It just feels like he's in a little bit over his head. And it's kind of like, well, you know, I talked to you last night about some of the comments that he had that just kind of, you know, it's sort of him saying that without saying that and talking about last year about how, you know, they kind of weren't prepared for the speed of the recruiting process and how quickly you have to make evaluations on guys and make offers to guys. It moves so much faster at the Power Five level than the Group of Five, but it's even faster than that, I think, in a place like the SEC, where it's so competitive to be able to land those top recruits. And I just, you know, it's really, it's wild to think that the one loss total for Florida is at, you know, 5.5. Mm-hmm. I'm at dinner last night with some guys from various places around the conference, and the consensus was, yeah, bet the under when it comes to Florida.
Wow. Yeah, it is crazy. You know, we saw Shane Beamer speak today. I know you like him. I like him. I mean, I think we all like Shane Beamer. I think he's done a really good job there. And, you know, again, they have plenty of challenges, and especially, you know, in that state with, you know, still the monster that is Clemson. And look, you know, last year, only four teams in the SEC won more games in conference than South Carolina. That would be Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and LSU. That's the only four teams that had more wins than South Carolina in conference. They finished 8-5. You know, it's one thing to kind of come out of nowhere, but it's another thing to try to build a consistent winner. And I know Shane Beamer wants that, but, you know, it is challenging there. I think this is an important year for the South Carolina program to capitalize on having a Spencer Rattler back and really just trying to build off their success from last year. If they take a big step backward, you know, again, I don't even know where South Carolina will be at that point.
Well, and just to kind of expound upon what you said and, you know, how much, you know, you and I both really like him. Garrett Chapman was sitting next to me today while Beamer spoke, and Garrett leaned over and he goes, how do you not want to play for this guy when you hear him talk? I mean, he's just got that kind of presence and personality about him. You talk about this year being an important year for them. Look, he's got that South Carolina fan base amped. Season ticket sales at South Carolina are up 106%. So he has got that fan base believing. It all comes back around. You know, the best stat, I think, and it's not a complimentary one, but it's the best stat that exemplifies where South Carolina is. No one has committed more turnovers the last 2 years than South Carolina has. Mm. They've thrown more interceptions and they fumbled more times than any other team in the SEC is the last 2 years. If they can just hold on to the ball, John, they're going to be a lot better. Dow Loggins takes over, a new offensive coordinator, a guy that frankly doesn't have a lot of college ties. I'll see how this works. He's more of a pro guy. As a matter of fact, he spent a couple of years in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans. That's his background, is more in the National Football League rather than being in college ball. I'm interested to see, A, what this offense looks like, but how he kind of fits in, you know, as Sam Pittman said yesterday. I think it's one of the best quotes of the week from Sam Pittman. He said, you know, in the portal world that we live in, you better have some guys on your staff that can recruit, because if you can't, you're going to be gone.
You know,
and go ahead. Be interested to see how well this guy can recruit there.
And you know, Chris, when you look at their schedule, you know, they start off with North Carolina, who's got, you know, again, I don't know if he's going to be the number one pick, but he'll be freaking close. I mean, I know that. I mean, he'll be maybe real close. Georgia at, you know, you're at Georgia, you're at Tennessee, home with Florida, at A&M, Clemson to finish off the year. I mean, I know they had a miraculous run, but I'm telling you, that schedule is not very easy for South Carolina, and there's a lot of opportunity to stub their toe along the way. And, you know, I wonder if they can meet the expectations that are now being set for what that program is.
Well, I think it's going to be tough, especially, you know, you mentioned playing Tennessee in Knoxville. You're going to play Clemson again with their traditional rival there at the end. Those are two teams they kind of jumped up and beat last year that I guarantee you, in Dabo Sweeney's office and in Josh Heupel's office, those two game days probably have big red circles drawn around them. They're not going to sneak up on anybody this year, that's for sure.
Chris Goforth joining me here. He was live in Nashville this week for SEC Media Days, pre, post, and halftime host for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network on the WadeFord.com hotline here. We saw Lane Kiffin today. Here's how I describe Lane Kiffin. Is Lane Kiffin looked like one of the flunkies that was hanging around Al Cervic at Bushwood Country Club. I mean, the polo and the jacket, I mean, my God, I mean, he looked like he was on a three-day bender with Rodney Dangerfield back in the 80s. I mean,
he looked like the total disheveled frat boy, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, again, he would have fit right into Bushwood with some of those flunkies. I mean, just, again, they're going to be an interesting team as well because, you know, they had a nice year. I mean, they, you know, 8-5, you know, on the season. They won four games in the SEC. They had one of the most dominant rushing teams, you know, in the SEC last year. Their quarterback play was, I think, really below average. I mean, I thought, you know, they did not get a lot out of their quarterbacks. But you know, they were able to run the football. They're going to be an interesting team. I mean, they've got Tech coming in, you know, this year to their place. And, you know, they had to go to Tech last year. But, you know, again, they're another one of those teams that they feel like, you know, they're kind of middling in the SEC. But, you know, they could still maybe finish in that top half of the conference.
He was pretty open today in talking about last year and the fact that he said that he himself did not do a good job at the end of the year last year of keeping that team together. And he said, I think it's one of the things that you face when you have a lot of portal guys on your team. He goes, everything's great and everybody's getting along when you're winning. But he said, all of a sudden, when you face some adversity and you're losing a couple of games, he said, that's when, you know, culturally things can really turn. Sounds like that's kind of what happened last year at Ole Miss. Now, I did get a chance, John, to talk to Quinshon Judkins today, a guy that I think you and I both really, really like. You talk about a kid that is absolutely put together. I mean, he is unbelievable. He is huge. And to know how well that guy can run, you know, he's got his sights set. He ran for more yards last year as a freshman in the SEC than anybody in the history of the league except Herschel Walker. So that's the kind of company that he's in. I think he's going to have another tremendous year. He talked to me a little bit today about being more involved in the passing game at Ole Miss as well. He can catch it coming out of the backfield a little bit, and that's something he wants to do more of this year. Kiffin said today he thinks the quarterback room that he's got is the deepest that he's had since he's been in Ole Miss. So we'll kind of see what it ends up looking like at Ole Miss this year. It's got to be difficult not to want to just turn around and give it to Judkins every single play. He is, in my opinion, as dynamic as anybody right now in college football.
Yeah, I mean, he had 274 carries last year. he's going to blow past 300 this year. I mean, he's going to be in the 300s, I mean, when all is said and done, because that's going to be their big offense. I mean, again, he caught 15 passes coming out of the backfield, but he's going to blow past 300 carries this year. And, you know, again, I think that that's their offense. You know, until I see some quarterback play, I question whether or not they're going to be able to do a lot in the passing game.
The other thing about them, John, real quick, that I think is maybe a little bit of a head scratcher. You know, Pete Golding caught so much flack at Alabama for his defenses, and I think maybe he kind of saw the writing on the wall and got out while he could. But Pete Golding is now the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss. I'm interested to see, given, you know, look, you don't have a Will Anderson on this Ole Miss defense. What kind of a defense can he put together there? I think that's going to be something to watch for them as well.
Let's switch over to a team that you know pretty well in Tennessee. Look, I love Josh Heupel. I think he's a terrific coach, and I thought he did so many terrific things last year. And look, he had a stud in Hendon Hooker. He got the most out of Hendon Hooker last year. Joe Milton, obviously, he's got a lot of talent. He was the starter, you know, there. Can they recapture the magic? I mean, that was not a good season for Tennessee. That was a magical season for Tennessee. And just where they finished and 11-2 overall, you know, there was so much magic in the air. And, yeah, I know they got beat up by Georgia, but still, though, you know, that was a magical run. What can they do to kind of recapture that, where now all of a sudden we get back to what Tennessee football is supposed to be? That was great for a year, but, you know, we've been used to seeing Tennessee football in our lifetime be, you know, one of the best teams in all of America.
Yeah, and I think they can. I think they can do that again. I mean, I think they can be right there with Georgia in the East. Now, it's going to come down to what version of Joe Milton do you get? We know the kid's got a cannon for an arm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he may have the strongest arm in college football.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The question is, can he take two questions about him? One, can he take a little bit off some of those throws so that not everything is a Nolan Ryan fastball? That's one. And then the second thing is, John, I still go back to when he was the starter at Tennessee and he ran out of bounds against Ole Miss with no time left on the clock. I can't mentally unsee that. Mm-hmm. In watching that game that night, what was it now, 2 years ago? I just can't. And so for as good as Hendon Hooker was last year, and people want to talk about the numbers and the accuracy and all that, yes, yes, yes. But, man, Hendon Hooker was so darn good in clutch moments last year for Tennessee. Just go back and watch the end of the Alabama game. He went at the big moment, he came through for Tennessee last year. Can Joe Milton do the same thing? Because in that game against Ole Miss, that was the mustard bottle game, right?
Yeah.
Joe Milton wilted when it was on the line. We need to see whether or not he can do that again. If he can, if he can have a little bit of that Hendon Hooker magic late in games, then, hey, maybe Tennessee's got a shot to be able, again, to at least be in that conversation again. Look, Georgia's roster is way, way better than anybody else's in the conference. But if, you know, Tennessee can still be in that conversation and challenge Georgia, finish second in the East, I think that would be you're starting to build something if you're Josh Heupel. Getting all of this crap that has floated over this program for the last 2 years with the NCAA allegations now, finally being able to put that stuff to bed, I think really has kind of lifted a little bit of a load off. I also don't think that it is pure coincidence that 5 days after that announcement is made, Tennessee gets a commitment from a five-star wide receiver. Chris, so I think that's going to help them in recruiting a lot, too.
Chris, I'll leave you with this nugget, too. You know, to your point, he's a career 57.8% passer. completion percentage-wise. That number's got to skyrocket this year. Like, if Tennessee's going to get back to where they need to be, he's got to be much better than basically a 50-50 quarterback as far as his completion percentage.
Yeah. No doubt.
Chris, you did a great job this week. You and Garrett both, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And listen, you know, we thank you so much for your time and Garrett's time up there. So you can follow Chris on his personal Twitter page, at ChrisGoForth1. You can hear him pre-post and halftime for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. And he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Chris, appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk again here soon.
Hey, man. Thanks, John. Talk to you soon, man.
You got it. All right. There you go. Chris and Garrett doing a great job up at SEC Media Days. All right, when we get back, it will be time for That's Life. You know, a couple of, beautiful women that are back on the marketplace, you know, day-to-day things are looking up, you know. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Not to the Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it. Chuck Reese Show, 9:23, live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. On Twitter, at JMCH316, he's at DD Lewis for real. How about this story, Day-Day? An 82-year-old collector named Terry thought that his brother had thrown out his old baseball card collection. Well, earlier this year, Terry's brother found the cards in an old cheese box where they had apparently been safely stored for decades. In this collection, there was a raw 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle. After the collection was found, the mantle was sent off to PSA, where it graded out a 6 in its grade. Last week, Terry's PSA 6 hit the auction block, and it sold for $186,000.
I'm tired, man. I'm tired. Can you stop bringing up these stories?
Terry says he'll split the cash with his brother. A pasteurized cheese box that these cards were stored in for decades.
Wow.
And, yeah.
I know it's probably not worth it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've got this full set of... So do you remember like around 2000... I guess it had to be about 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. ESPN put out like this series of Topps cards.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go through them and just see.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I'm just going to... Because I got one box. I got a full set. And
so you can go like on Beckett.com, B-E-C-K-E-T-T, that's Beckett Collectibles.
Right.
And you can get price guides and stuff like that for cards.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I get price guides for baseball cards. Mm-hmm. I get price guides for non-sport cards. Like I can get pricing on like my James Bond autograph cards. So
yeah,
you get a lot of everything.
Yeah, I'm just going to give it a go because... When I originally got the set, the guy that gave it to me, he was like, I mean, you can have it. He was like, it's probably not going to be anything in here, you know, because at that time,
right.
As we looked through, it was guys that were pretty much.
Well, again, if it's 2001,
right?
Okay, if it's 2001, the rookie cards of Ichiro and Albert Pujols are in 2001.
Right.
So if it is 2001, if they're baseball players, look. Those are guys that would have some value because they would be rookie cards for Ichiro and Albert Pujols.
Right.
That's the class of the 2001 trading card groups. So
yeah, I'm going to give it
a go. Never know.
Yeah, listen, never know. I'm
gonna
go
again, I don't know that I have a $186,000 card just lying around.
Right.
But listen, maybe in 5 decades or something like that, it'll be worth something. So have you seen that Sofia Vergara and Ariana Grande are both getting divorced? Supposedly, Ariana Grande's dating somebody,
already.
One of her co-stars. Yeah, one of her co-stars already. So look, things are looking up, you know.
Ariana, she moves quickly.
Oh, yeah.
She moves quickly.
No, she's not going to stay single for very long.
No.
Again, it felt like some of these marriages, like for her, were like phony.
Marriages and relationships,
like phony, fake. I mean, you know, but a lot of people were surprised that Sofia Vergara is.
Yeah, because they've been together for a while, right?
Well, I think the story is that he wanted kids and she didn't. And I think that's what the story is coming out now. That I think they were married for like 7 years or something like that.
Right.
But story's coming out that maybe she didn't want kids, he wanted kids, and you know that was it. And look, well, how about this? I know it's Sofia Vergara, but don't you have those conversations before you get married? Or
yeah, but you know, people always think they can change a person's mind.
Right. Right. And it is Sofia Vergara.
Right.
So every time you wake up and look over there, it's like, okay, I can live with, you know, I can live with all that, you know.
Plus your bank account is pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, wasn't he an actor or something like that?
I'm just saying.
What's his name? Joe Bag of Donuts or something like that. So, all fun. But, yeah, so a couple of lovely young ladies that are on the marketplace. Nowadays. Happy birthday today to Peter Forsberg, who is one of my favorite hockey players of all time, one of the great two-way players in NHL history for the Colorado Avalanche, one of the great players both on offense and on defense. So I threw Day-Day a curveball here tonight with our top 10 list. So I'm asking for Day-Day's top 10 favorite hockey players of all time. Let's see if Day-Day's got 10 hockey players. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right, well, I'll be real. I have 9.
Okay.
Because for me, you know, full disclaimer, I probably didn't really kind of start paying attention to hockey until guess that was what, late 80s when Wayne Gretzky hit LA.
Sure.
So with that being said, on my list, of course, I've got the great Wayne Gretzky. Mm-hmm. I've got Mario Lemieux, Sid the Kid, Alex Ovechkin. Believe it or not, I got Brett Hall.
Oh, I've got Brett Hall on my list. Yeah. I love Brett Hall.
Yeah. Well, so for me, the point of when I was really kind of locking in was when Detroit and New Jersey were kind of the two top dogs.
Yes.
So Brett Hall, Patrick Kane, Bobby Orr, Steve, I always messed up his last name.
Yzerman.
And then, Scott Stevens, cause again, Jersey, the Devils and Detroit. So there you go.
Nice.
Not too bad, right?
Okay. So that's good. So I really got into my hockey fandom come mid, late 90s or almost early 2000s. So most everybody that's my favorite player played somewhere around
that era.
That kind of era. So I've got John LeClair, part of the Legion of Doom with Rod Brind'Amour and Eric Lindros, that line in Philadelphia. They were called the Legion of Doom. My favorite goalie of all time is Martin Brodeur. So you're talking about New Jersey.
Right.
You know, obviously them in Detroit, but he was the New Jersey Devils goalie for a long time. I've got Brett Hall on my list as well. I always like Brett Hall. I didn't see Bobby Hall and all those guys and his, you know, father playing all that stuff, but I love Brett Hall. You had Lemieux. I had Jágr. I love Jaromír Jágr. I thought, again, one of the great players of all time. Peter Forsberg's on my list. And actually, Peter Forsberg's on my list, and his teammate, Joe Sakic, who I loved. Joe Sakic, probably my second favorite hockey player of all time. I've got Paul Kariya and Teemu Selanne.
Okay.
And so they played for the Anaheim Ducks.
The Ducks, okay.
Yeah. When the Ducks were good, they paired up, and they were one of the best front lines in hockey. They were scoring machines. Like, Kariya was, I think Kariya's, look up Paul Kariya's, Paul Kariya's stats. I think he had at least 160 goal season, and he might have even had a season where he scored more than that. But I think he had at least 160 goal season. Paul Kariya, Canadian. So he had some monster years in Anaheim, and then partnered up with Teemu Selanne. He was a Finnish player, but he was also a mega goal scorer, and I love those guys, and just, again, the Anaheim Ducks were not necessarily a really good team, but they were fun to watch.
Yeah, like, with Anaheim, he had back-to-back seasons where he had 40-plus goals, so he had 44-1 in 96-97, and then he had 50 in 95-96. He had 42 in 99-2000, a couple back-to-back 30-plus seasons, 2001 and 2002. Yeah, he was rolling.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought he had even a higher season than 50 goals, because it felt like he was one of the guys that was a 60 goal scorer. But 50 goals is nothing to sneeze at. I'm looking at it right here now. 50 goals in 95-96. That was a high watermark. But again, you get to 40 goals, 40-50 goals. That's a stout number. Pavel Bure. The Russian Rocket, as he was known as. I love some of those Russian players, Sergei Fedorov, Pavel Bure. And then my favorite player of all time, believe it or not, and you had him on your list. Do you know who it is? Any guesses? It's not Gretzky or Lemieux.
Yzerman.
Steve Yzerman, my favorite player. He's my favorite player of all time. I loved Detroit and Colorado in those days where they hooked up so much star power on the ice, and those teams really went at it. Like, they had so many good battles.
Yeah.
And I loved Colorado and Detroit when they would hook up. And again, Yzerman, Sergei Fedorov, Brendan Shanahan. I mean, those teams were just loaded with talent. And Yzerman's my favorite player, man. I mean, one of the great two-way players in hockey history. So, what a great player. So, all right, that was good. That was
fun.
I wanted to try to throw you for a loop in all of that. So, I was going to maybe ask you, Sofia Vergara, where she ranked. But anyway, we won't get into all of that. All right, when we come back, Will Gray joined us earlier to preview the British Open. What he had to say, our golf guy expert, up next. Chuck Rinnecke Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening with you. It is a miserable Thursday night out there as thunder, lightning, and massive rain is rolling all through Midtown Atlanta right now. But we won't get our spirits dampened because we've got the British Open here for the next few days. And let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. He is our guy that we always turn to, Will Gray, editorial lead for the PGA Tour overseeing Golf Bet, your hub for all things betting on golf. And he is on Twitter at Will Gray Golf Bet and joins me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Will, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Thank you for a few minutes in Atlanta.
Yeah, no problem, Chuck. Always good to be with you.
So let's talk about the course. And obviously, you know, we always get into this tournament and, you know, again, weather can always play a factor. Sometimes it's really hot and dry and the courses play really fast. It could be rainy. I mean, what do we expect the weather forecast to be for this weekend? And what will this kind of course play like over the weekend?
The weather forecast is pretty tame for open standards, but that doesn't mean it's calm by any means. As we saw today, you know, a little bit of firmness, a little bit of wind here or there can really make a difference on this course. You know, this is only the third time that this place, Royal Liverpool, has hosted the Open since 1967, so it's not one that we see a ton. 2014, when Rory won, was the last time that this tournament was held there. So there's a lot of learning going on from players and fans alike. And I think that the returns from today were, you know, there are a couple birdies out there here or there, but for the most part, this is a stern test. And as you saw with some of those scores near the bottom of the standings, it can get away from you pretty quickly.
You know, is sort of the reputation of this course that, you know, sometimes maybe the quality isn't there or weather has a real effect on this course? I mean, is that sort of the reputation that Royal Liverpool has had?
A little bit. I mean, in 2006, when it came back there and Tiger won, it was super burnt out and brown and very, very dry. In 2014, when Rory won, it was a little bit softer. So they went on both sides of the spectrum there. But I think that this week, the focus, and especially in the first round we saw it play out, is really on these bunkers. I mean, these bunkers are no joke. If you get in there, they're very flat. They've got these thick rake marks, and they're really playing like penalties and hazard areas. We saw Tony Finau basically putt a ball in the bunker just for different spots to be able to get out. John Rahm, Justin Thomas, they're all playing backwards. Rory had a crazy par on 18 out of the sand. So, you know, add in the OB and the out of bounds that lurks near the 18th fairway. And this is one where, yeah, if you keep it on the straight and narrow, you're going to have some birdie chances. But as soon as you stray, once you're in that sand, you're going to have a tough time saving par.
Well, let me ask you a question just from your personal perspective. You know, do you like major tournaments where there's kind of the Cinderella story or underdog or things like that? Or do you like to see the greats, you know, and see the greats play in the final round and for the, you know, chance to win a championship? Because, again, when you look at this leaderboard, I know it's early, and, again, it's only the first round, but – again, when Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark are the highest, you know, Americans, you know, in this tournament so far, you know, it's not exactly a who's who of golf royalty in the leaderboard right now. Do you personally like the better players or do you like the underdog sort of Cinderella stories?
I would kind of liken it to March Madness. You know, you always root for those underdog upsets in the first couple of rounds. And then by the time you get to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, you want to see the blue blood mm-hmm. programs kind of duke it out. And I think that that's what we're going to see here. Yes, you know, Harman and Wyndham Clark are among the highest ranked Americans right now, but Scottie Scheffler's right there, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka. The names that you know are lurking just a couple shots back from there. And I think that the further along that we go, the more the cream is going to rise to the top. And you know, if you look at the winners that we've had at this course before, it's Tiger and Rory, and 9 years ago it was Ricky Fowler was in the mix. And so I think eventually by the end of the week, we're going to see the big names start to show up. And, you know, you've got an amateur, Christo Lamprecht, that's leading. I would say that's like your 15 over 2 upset that you get in the first round. I don't know that I'm going to expect his name at the top of the leaderboard come Saturday. But honestly, if he's there, if we have like a Tom Watson situation, you know, all the better. Then that would be an all-timer story. And that's cool for a different reason. But I do think that the further along we go, the cream's going to rise to the top. And I think players, especially guys like Scottie Scheffler, are going to work their way up the board.
Golf analyst Will Gray joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So you're obviously involved with Golf Bet. So give me a couple of long shots that you think play into this course pretty well. Are there a couple of guys that we should be looking out for that aren't household names or maybe long shots on the betting lines that could do some damage this weekend?
I mean, I really think that Brian Harman is someone that's going to be there for a while. You know, he's someone that has won twice in the PGA Tour, a bit of a veteran, a left-handed player. And he has sneakily gotten into about the top 30 in the world and doesn't have a ton of name recognition, but has put up some big results in some big events. So he's in that mix around 3 under. I think he's going to stick around for sure. You know, he was in the 30-to-40-to-1 range for a while. I think I saw him get down to about 18-to-1. So I think that if you're looking at the board and trying to figure out, you know, where's the cutoff, it's a little early to do that. But I did see my former colleague Justin Ray had a great stat that I think since 1970, 96% of the Open Championship winners have been within 5 shots of the lead after round one. So you really want to look at that group that's under par as probably producing your winner. Yes, maybe someone that shot 2 or 3 over today could put together a 64 or 65 tomorrow and get back into it. But by and large, we've seen this course, you know, has very thin margins around the edges. So I think that you're probably looking at those guys that did open in the 60s, or maybe someone that's 1 under at 70, like Scheffler or Brooks Koepka, that those are the guys that eventually are going to be hoisting the claret jug.
Is there one of the big names that you think this course does not favor? I mean, you know, again, you mentioned the fact that the last time it was here in 2014, Rory was the winner, and we've kind of been, you know, on Rory watch, it feels like, for a while now. But is there one of the big name players that you think that this course does not favor very much?
Not entirely. I mean, I will say that it doesn't have a ton of room to miss off the tee. I was a little surprised to see Cam Smith, the defending champion, shoot over par today. He's so good on and around the greens, but he was playing catch up for most of the day. But, you know, I actually think you look at someone like Spieth. It was a full Jordan Spieth experience today, right? He had a bunch of birdies. He also had a double bogey where he shanked one out of the rough out of bounds when he was trying to hack it out. So there's always going to be some high variance whenever Spieth comes to the course. We saw him, you know, win this tournament 6 years ago at Royal Birkdale, and that was a roller coaster then too. But I think the longer this goes, the more likely it is that he's going to get stung by maybe a wayward tee shot, or end up in a double or triple bogey, which we've seen a lot of guys fall to today. Certainly, I think that's going to continue as the week progresses. You know, Rory's going to be right there in the mix. He's playing so well coming off the Scottish Open. John Rahm is someone that, I think, you know, he could play on the moon, and John Rahm is going to be among the 4 or 5 favorites. So I think that he's someone that could be poised to make one of those rallies. And then Scheffler's right there. I mean, if Scottie Scheffler putts decently, he's going to win a tournament by 4 or 5 shots very soon, and it could be as recently as this week.
You know, Will, I hate to jinx it, but, I mean, one of the nice things about this tournament going into this weekend is there really doesn't feel like the angst, you know, with – the divide of LIV golfers and PGA Tour golfers and all of the kind of side stories. It really does feel like that this is maybe the first major where we can just really focus on golf. Like, and again, even with all the uncertainty, it still feels like that this is a weekend that really is about just the game of golf, and we can focus on it, and we really don't have so much of the background noise of all of the stories that have kind of, I guess, plagued you know, the world of golf over this past year. But we don't feel like we have those kinds of stories that are lingering right now for the tour.
It's nice to focus on the golf, right? Every now and then. I think that's been the key takeaway, not only this week, but of the four majors, is that, you know, it's so much better. It's such a better product. It's such a better fan experience to have all the best players in the world playing these big events all together. And you don't want to have to hand out trophies with asterisks and things like that. And there are a lot of questions about, you know, the pro golf landscape and where we're going to go from here into 2024, maybe beyond. And I assure you, I have zero of those answers, but I can tell you that I agree with your sentiment that it's nice this week you know, to have all the names that you know and recognize, and they're all starting at even par and going out and tackling the same course from the first tee, and then you add them up at the end. And so if we can get to a point where there's more of that and less of the soap opera drama in the background, I think I'm all for it.
Last question for you. You mentioned about Brian Harman could be a player in this whole thing. Do you think he can finish as the highest American in this tournament? Is he the guy to watch for on the American side?
I still think Scottie Scheffler is probably going to work his way into the top five. So that's a high bar to hit. I mean, Scottie Scheffler hasn't finished worse than 12th in any golf tournament since October. It's just amazing how consistent he has been. I do think Harman is someone from a betting perspective that could have some value. I think he's kind of in that mold that we saw last month at the U.S. Open with Wyndham Clark. No one really, including myself, expected Wyndham Clark to hang on like he did down the stretch, especially against the bigger names like Rory and Ricky Fowler. And he managed to pull it off. And honestly, he surprised me again today to be able to turn it around. And he's once again on the leaderboard. Usually it takes a few months for those guys to get used to the extra weight of being a major champion. We didn't see that today from Wyndham Clark. We'll see how it goes tomorrow and through the weekend. But yeah, I think if you're looking at the board and trying to figure out, you know, Tommy Fleetwood is a co-leader. He's now the consensus betting favorite. Scheffler's right behind him, where it started out as Scheffler and Rory kind of on even footing. I think Harmon's someone that could be interesting, and I don't think it's a fluke that he put together a pretty good round today. I expect more of that out of him the rest of the week.
Editorial lead overseeing Golf Bet, your hub for all things golf betting, part of the PGA Tour. Will Gray joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page. He'll have all of your action all weekend long at Will Gray Golf Bet. Will, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes in Atlanta. We always enjoy talking to you. And listen, we will talk to you here as the tournament will eventually get here to Atlanta, and we'll chat again then.
Oh, for sure. We'll be in your neck of the woods here in a few weeks. It's coming up quick. Always good chatting with you, John.
You got it. Appreciate it, Will. Chuck from the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chukri Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening with you. It is a miserable Thursday night out there as thunder, lightning, and massive rain is rolling all through Midtown Atlanta right now. But we won't get our spirits dampened because we've got the British Open here for the next few days. And let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. He is our guy that we always turn to, Will Gray, editorial lead for the PGA Tour overseeing Golf Bet, your hub for all things betting on golf. And he is on Twitter at Will Gray Golf Bet and joins me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Will, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Thank you for a few minutes in Atlanta.
Yeah, no problem, Chuck. Always good to be with you.
So let's talk about the course. And obviously, you know, we always get into this tournament and, you know, again, weather can always play a factor. Sometimes it's really hot and dry and the courses play really fast. It could be rainy. I mean, what do we expect the weather forecast to be for this weekend? And what will this kind of course play like over the weekend?
The weather forecast is pretty tame for open standards, but that doesn't mean it's calm by any means. As we saw today, you know, a little bit of firmness, a little bit of wind here or there can really make a difference on this course. You know, this is only the third time that this place, Royal Liverpool, has hosted the Open since 1967, so it's not one that we see a ton. 2014, when Rory won, was the last time that this tournament was held there. So there's a lot of learning going on from players and fans alike, and I think that the returns from today were, you know, there are a couple birdies out there here or there, but for the most part, this is a stern test, and as you saw with some of those scores near the bottom of the standings, it can get away from you pretty quickly.
You know, is sort of the reputation of this course that, you know, sometimes maybe the quality isn't there or weather has a real effect on this course? I mean, is that sort of the reputation that Royal Liverpool has had?
A little bit. I mean, in 2006, when it came back there and Tiger won, it was super burnt out and brown and very, very dry. In 2014, when Rory won, it was a little bit softer. So they went on both sides of the spectrum there. But I think that this week, the focus, and especially in the first round, we saw it play out, is really on these bunkers. I mean, these bunkers are no joke. If you get in there, they're very flat. They've got these thick rake marks, and they're really playing like penalties and hazard areas. We saw Tony Finau basically putt a ball in the bunker just so different spots to be able to get out. John Rahm, Justin Thomas, they're all playing backwards. Rory had a crazy par on 18 out of the sand. So, you know, add in the OB and the out of bounds that lurks near the 18th fairway. And this is one where, yeah, if you keep it on the straight and narrow, you're going to have some birdie chances. But as soon as you stray, once you're in that sand, you're going to have a tough time saving par.
Well, let me ask you a question just from your personal perspective. You know, do you like major tournaments where there's kind of the Cinderella story or underdog or things like that? Or do you like to see the greats, you know, and see the greats play in the final round and for the, you know, chance to win a championship? Because, again, when you look at this leaderboard, I know it's early, and, again, it's only the first round, but again, when Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark are the highest, you know, Americans, you know, in this tournament so far, you know, it's not exactly a who's who of golf royalty in the leaderboard right now. Do you personally like the better players, or do you like the underdog sort of Cinderella stories?
I would kind of liken it to March Madness. You know, you always root for those underdog upsets in the first couple rounds, and then by the time you get to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, you want to see the blue blood mm-hmm. programs kind of duke it out. And I think that's what we're going to see here. That yes, you know, Harman and Wyndham Clark are among the highest ranked Americans right now, but Scottie Scheffler's right there, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, the names that you know are lurking just a couple shots back from there. And I think that the further along that we go, the more the cream is going to rise to the top. And you know, if you look at the winners that we've had at this course before, it's Tiger and Rory, and 9 years ago it was Ricky Fowler was in the mix. And so I think eventually by the end of the week, we're going to see the big names start to show up. And, you know, you've got an amateur Christo Lamprecht that's leading. I would say that's like your 15-over-2 upset that you get in the first round. I don't know that I'm going to expect his name at the top of the leaderboard come Saturday. But honestly, if he's there, if we have like a Tom Watson situation, you know, all the better. Then that would be an all-timer story, and that's cool for a different reason. But I do think that the further along we go, the cream's going to rise to the top, and I think players, especially guys like Scottie Scheffler, are going to work their way up the board.
Golf analyst Will Gray joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So you're obviously involved with Golf Bet. So give me a couple of long shots that you think play into this course pretty well? Are there a couple of guys that we should be looking out for that aren't household names or maybe long shots on the betting lines that could do some damage this weekend?
I mean, I really think that Brian Harman is someone that's going to be there for a while. You know, he's someone that has won twice in the PGA Tour, a bit of a veteran, a left-handed player. And he has sneakily gotten into about the top 30 in the world and doesn't have a ton of name recognition, but has put up some big results in some big events. So he's in that mix around 3 under. I think he's going to stick around for sure. You know, he was in the 30 to 40 to 1 range for a while. I think I saw him get down to about 18 to 1. So I think that if you're looking at the board and trying to figure out, you know, where's the cutoff, it's a little early to do that. But I did see my former colleague Justin Ray had a great stat that I think since 1970, 96% of the Open Championship winners have been within 5 shots of the lead after round one. So you really want to look at that group that's under par as probably producing your winner. Yes, maybe someone that shot 2 or 3 over today could put together a 64 or 65 tomorrow and get back into it. But by and large, we've seen this course, you know, has very thin margins around the edges. So I think that you're probably looking at those guys that did open in the 60s or maybe someone that's 1 under at 70 like Scheffler or Brooks Koepka, that those are the guys that eventually are going to be hoisting the claret jug.
Is there one of the big names that you think this course does not favor? I mean, you know, again, you mentioned the fact that the last time I was here in 2014, Rory was the winner, and we've kind of been, you know, on Rory watch, it feels like, for a while now. But is there one of the big name players that you think that this course does not favor very much?
Not entirely. I mean, I will say that it doesn't have a ton of room to miss off the tee. I was a little surprised to see Cam Smith, the defending champion, shoot over par today. He's so good on and around the greens, but he was playing catch up for most of the day. But, you know, I actually think you look at someone like Spieth. It was a full Jordan Spieth experience today, right? He had a bunch of birdies. He also had a double bogey where he shanked one out of the rough out of bounds when he was trying to hack it out. So there's always going to be some high variance whenever Spieth comes to the course. We saw him, you know, win this tournament 6 years ago at Royal Birkdale, and that was a roller coaster then too. But I think the longer this goes, the more likely it is he's going to get stung by maybe a wayward tee shot or end up in a double or triple bogey, which we've seen a lot of guys fall to today. Certainly, I think that's going to continue as the week progresses. You know, Rory's going to be right there in the mix. He's playing so well coming off the Scottish Open. Jon Rahm is someone that I think, you know, he could play on the moon, and Jon Rahm is going to be among the 4 or 5 favorites. So I think that he's someone that could be poised to make one of those rallies. And then Scheffler's right there. I mean, if Scottie Scheffler putts decently, he's going to win a tournament by 4 or 5 shots very soon, and it could be as recently as this week.
You know, Will, I hate to jinx it, but, I mean, one of the nice things about this tournament going into this weekend is there really doesn't feel like the angst, you know, with the divide of LIV golfers and PGA Tour golfers and all of the kind of side stories. It really does feel like that this is maybe the first major where we can just really focus on golf. Like, and again, even with all the uncertainty, it still feels like that this is a weekend that really is about just the game of golf, and we can focus on it, and we really don't have so much of the background noise of all of the stories that have kind of, I guess, plagued you know, the world of golf over this past year. But we don't feel like we have those kinds of stories that are lingering right now for the tour.
It's nice to focus on the golf, right? Every now and then. I think that's been the key takeaway, not only this week, but of the four majors, is that, you know, it's so much better. It's such a better product. It's such a better fan experience to have all the best players in the world playing these big events all together. And you don't want to have to hand out trophies with asterisks and things like that. And there are a lot of questions about, you know, the pro golf landscape and where we're going to go from here into 2024, maybe beyond. And I assure you, I have zero of those answers, but I can tell you that I agree with your sentiment that it's nice this week, you know, to have all the names that you know and recognize, and they're all starting at even par and going out and tackling the same course from the first tee, and then you add them up at the end. And so if we can get to a point where there's more of that and less of the soap opera drama in the background, I think I'm all for it.
Last question for you. You mentioned about Brian Harman could be a player in this whole thing. Do you think he can finish as the highest American in this tournament? Is he the guy to watch for on the American side?
I mean, I think that I still think Scottie Scheffler is probably going to work his way into the top five. So that's a high bar to hit. I mean, Scottie Scheffler hasn't finished worse than 12th in any golf tournament since October. It's just amazing how consistent he has been. I do think Harman is someone –
from a betting perspective that could have some value. I think he's kind of in that mold that we saw last month at the U.S. Open with Wyndham Clark. No one really, including myself, expected Wyndham Clark to hang on like he did down the stretch, especially against the bigger names like Rory and Ricky Fowler. And he managed to pull it off. And honestly, he surprised me again today to be able to turn it around. And he's once again on the leaderboard. Usually it takes a few months for those guys to get used to the extra weight of being a major champion. We didn't see that today from Wyndham Clark. We'll see how it goes tomorrow and through the weekend. But yeah, I think if you're looking at the board and trying to figure out, you know, Tommy Fleetwood is a co-leader. He's now the consensus betting favorite. Scheffler's right behind him, where it started out as Scheffler and Rory kind of on even footing. I think Harmon's someone that could be interesting, and I don't think it's a fluke that he put together a pretty good round today. I expect more of that out of him the rest of the week.
Editorial lead overseeing Golf Bet, your hub for all things golf betting, part of the PGA Tour. Will Gray joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page. He'll have all of your action all weekend long at Will Gray Golf Bet. Will, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes in Atlanta. We always enjoy talking to you. And listen, we will talk to you here as the tournament will eventually get here to Atlanta, and we'll chat again then.
Oh, for sure. We'll be in your neck of the woods here in a few weeks. It's coming up quick. Always good chatting with you, John.
You got it. Appreciate it, Will. Chuck from the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.